Under normal circumstances, perhaps before Bob had drank all those beers, the answer would most certainly have been, "No, there's no way I'm about to fire one of those innocent piglets out of this cannon." But under the influence of said beers, Bob stood to reason that he had three piglets, and in the case that one were shot out of a tater cannon, he would still have two piglets remaining. That, combined with the allure of seeing such a porcine perpetration, amounted to an uncommonly enchanting temptation. "I'll get to Crisco," he said.
"Have you ever made love to a Chinese woman?" Ben asked.
"What? Have I? No, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that. I just..."
"Just listen," he said.
Into my ear, Ben whispered secrets of the Orient I'd never even thought to explore. Not of the art this time, but another art entirely, the art of love. Maybe a minute of this, and he patted me on the back, indicating he was done. "That's some pretty wild stuff," I said.
"May it serve you well."
Sol sat at the kitchen table eating a pastrami and mustard. Mom had gone to bed. He'd promised her he would stay home tonight. But he had an itch no pastrami sandwich in the world could scratch. The sun had gone down, pulling with it that little trigger in Sol's head, the one that sent an impulsive bullet careening off the walls of his skull. He wanted badly to go out and slap down a bet. Any bet. By 10, he'd convinced himself it was his lucky night after all. He'd be a fool not to take advantage of it. He put on his jacket and got in the car. "This is so goddamn stupid," he thought.
Henry Thompson, apartment 220, was too proud to ask for help, but he did make me listen to his usual war story again with its latest revisions. "We're all hunkered down in the barracks, getting shelled to hell and back. Hell yeah, I was scared, not too proud to admit it. Then the squad leader says, 'Let's get out there and let them know we're doing fine.' So I'm out there behind the sandbags with a grenade launcher at 2 a.m. I don't know if we got any of them, but we didn't lose anyone either. Lost some sleep, though. I'm still tired. I'll be dead soon anyway." "Oh, stop it," I said.
"The thing with Billy, he's been acting so strange lately. Maybe it's that ADHD everyone's talking about. Denise's kid had that, but he doesn't act anything like Billy. Billy's a sweet boy. Clint is a little bastard. You know what he did the other day? He said, 'Nice cans,' to Sue at the store." "Are you serious? Who told you?" "Sue told me. The little bastard accosted her in the seafood section, and his mother totally wrote it off. 'He has ADHD,' she told her. Like that's an excuse for sexual harassment. She does have nice cans for 50. I didn't say that the little bastard has bad taste. I'm just saying he's a little bastard.
"Check this out, man. What happened? I was hammering some nails sticking up out of the floorboards back down, and of course, Angelica wants to help me. So I'm down there, and she's helping with this little ball peen hammer I had from somewhere, and she goes, 'Daddy, I'm Handy Manny.' The hammer hits me before I can even look up. I see stars. I go down. What is the saying? How sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child?
Man, I don't think they're thankless. I just think they're trying to kill me."
Right away, it became a daily thing. For weeks, we spent half our lunch breaks in the crawlspace and the other half cramming junk food into our faces. The typical addict's way of dealing with problems is to ignore them, and that's just what we did for almost a full month of stoned regression. The initial blast of it, the full bore high, steadily gave way to common stonedness. Pretty soon, those old sentiments were crawling back into my thoughts, the ones that tried to tell me I was wasting my time trying to live like everyone else, just working my way into oblivion. What was the point? Just toke up, relax, and ride this life out in comfort. It's only a matter of time before we're all worm food.